Carla, please read item 994.
Amend the seismic design requirements for existing building code related to required placarding and tenant notification for unreinforced masonry buildings and associated timeline and documentation of compliance.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to make a motion to add an emergency clause to this. It's been moved.
And for the purposes of?
And for the purposes of, it's in the public's interest to ensure that we do this as promptly as possible.
Second.
Okay, please call the roll on the amendment.
Udalee?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Fritz?
I believe if you're going to pull off the Band-Aid, do it as quickly as possible. Aye. Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, and thank you, colleagues, for allowing this to become an emergency ordinance. As you know, when I took office on January 2nd, there were several pieces of work that were on my desk. One was the implementation of the ordinance around the unenforced masonry buildings. I want to be really clear. The action that we take today in no way backs the city away from our commitment to ensuring that we have a city that is resilient from any of the big hits that fall upon us. It is our goal to work with community, with business owners, with nonprofits, with faith institutions to ensure that we identify as many opportunities as possible to assist people in making their buildings earthquake safe. The action that we're taking today is because, quite frankly, we need more time. We need a better process, and we need to be able to make sure that we are bringing the community along with us in this process. For people who don't know, unenforced masonry buildings are those buildings that pose a terrible threat to life and safety. FEMA considers them the most dangerous buildings when the ground shakes. After today's actions, we will be appointing a work group to develop solutions to the URM problems that exist in the city of Portland. In the meantime, the city of Portland's buildings placarding rules have become a distraction from the primary purpose. I spent a lot of time my first couple of months talking about pro or con putting plaques on the building. But what all of us can agree to is that the work has to happen with or without plaques on the building. For that reason, I've asked Portland Bureau of Emergency Management to bring forth an ordinance repealing the placarding rules council passed last year. Before we take up the main ordinance, I would also like to move, I already did that, never mind. So we're gonna take up the main one, and I wanna invite Jana, and Jana, I always am really horrible with trying to pronounce your name, so I'm going to give you the opportunity to please do it for me, and I will promise to try to repeat it appropriately.
Commissioner Hardesty, it took me about a year to practice to do it, but I can do it now. This is Jana Papaefthimiu.
Thank you so much, Commissioner Fritz.
Papaefthimiu.
You got it.
Wow.
Yeah. So I still don't have it.
That's okay.
It's a beautiful name.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And I, before you present, I just want to tell you what an incredible experience it has been working with you, Jana, through this process. I just want you to know how valued you are and how visionary you are and actually never taking no for an answer. So thank you very much for being here, and we look forward to your presentation.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. So for the record, my name is Jana Papaefthimiu, and I am the Planning, Policy, and Community Programs Manager at the City of Portland Bureau of Emergency Management. And the first item I'm presenting today is the repeal of the building placarding rules, tenant notification, and all the code changes that we adopted together at the same time. As Commissioner Hardesty has already said, I regret that this has really become a distraction from the main work of us, of our bureau, and of the city, which is to build a physically resilient city and to work in partnership with community to make everyone safer. And at this point, it just seems the time and resources required to make this work, repealing it is a much more practical option. So, as some of you will recall, last October at this time, we were here adopting the placarding ordinance. The main ideas in the original ordinance were, one, that it required a warning sign on unreinforced masonry buildings in the city's URM inventory, and it also required building owners to notify prospective tenants when they applied for a lease that the building was a URM. And then it made a lot of smaller changes to the code to create definitions and appeal process and a way to enforce the rules. At the same time, we also adopted several other changes. The main one was we strengthened triggers for required seismic retrofits when an owner is doing voluntary upgrades to the building. What we did mainly was change the timeline. Previously, we looked back on 2 years worth of improvements to see if they hit the triggers to make upgrades. When we changed the rules last year, we changed it to a 5-year look back period. And with the change now, we'll put it back to 2 years because we're putting the code back exactly how it was previous. We also did some very bureaucratic code cleanup at the same time. We removed outdated references, we moved punctuation around to improve it, and all the changes will also need to go back. After we adopted the original ordinance, we made efforts to be more clear about its application, and in the hopes that we could design something that would work better for property owners, we made the 3 amendments that are listed there. The first one clarified the application of the rules. The second one gave a longer timeline for most building owners, and it also removed the requirement that it be recorded with the county on the title, which many building owners really did not like. And then finally, we added some language to the sign that clarified it was a sign that was required by city code. So it was, so the building owner didn't feel that they were compelled to make this speech, but they could attribute it to the city. Despite those efforts to improve the code, our notification requirement met with a legal challenge, and this summer we were prevented from enforcing it due to potential First Amendment concerns. We're obviously disappointed with this outcome, and the case hasn't gone to trial, so we could continue to pursue it, but as we've said, it seems that this time it's consuming resources that are really better spent on making retrofits happen. Therefore, the proposed repeal before you now is to repeal all the ordinance, the 4 listed, related to placarding and tenant notification, to put the entire code back to its previous state, the look-back timeline, the code cleanups, and simply have the same code that we had in September of 2018. That's my entire presentation, and I'd be happy to answer questions.
There doesn't appear to be any questions, Madam President. Are there people signed up, maybe?
Yes, we have 3 people signed up. Jim Atwood, Angie Even, and Tim Even.
Thank you very much. My name is Jim Atwood, ATWOOD, 33 Southwest 3rd, 97204.
So you've been testifying here for a while, right?
Yes.
Nowadays, you don't actually have to put your address into the record. Just your name is perfectly fine.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Commissioner. I noticed the young lady that won the award this afternoon was commended for being politically astute. Mm. Unfortunately, I don't share that quality. I more call it like it is.
My kind of guy.
And the council basically infringed on our constitutional rights. And, you know, you're our neighbors. We're supposed to be working together. And we pointed that out, I in particular did, to council before they adopted the ordinances. And I don't necessarily lay all the blame on the council. I put the blame somewhat at the feet of staff. I think that you were misinformed, grossly misinformed, during their presentations and conduct of the previous committee.
Sir, can I just say something on that point? And I've been on this council now for 11 years, so I'm just going to offer an insight. You are on the verge of getting something that you want, that you fought hard for. Now, you can take the time and disparage people who have been part of the process up to this moment, or you can give us a reason why we should support this particular change. But I would remind you that when the battle has been won, there are often extra points for being gracious.
He already told us he wasn't politically astute, Commissioner.
And I'll just also say this, just speaking for myself, I have never found any testimony that disparages staff to be particularly helpful in reaching a conclusion on the merits. In fact, we tend to be very protective of our staff because they have very hard jobs and they often, most often work at our direction. So when there are problems at the staff level, really we should be charged with whatever the deficiency is. So I just offer that as a perspective because you're on the verge of getting something you want, and you may just want to filter that as you think about whatever your comments are.
Thank you, Commissioner. I'll take that under advisement and do away with a lot of the emails I was going to quote from this afternoon. But there's one in particular that's not an email. It's a letter from the city attorney to our attorney dated last November 30th. And it says in part, as to your allegation that the law is unconstitutional, I respectfully disagree. I'm happy to review any cases you have to support your perspective. And this letter was sent to Mayor Wheeler, all the commissioners, and the city attorney, Tracy Reeve. We did present those cases to the city attorney, and you forged ahead. Not only did you forge ahead, you went to the mat. We went every hearing and deposition that I attended. We had one attorney, and the city had two or three attorneys and bureau heads in attendance. We spent over $500,000 on this deal, and I think you guys must have spent two or three times that much fighting us.
And so, sir, if I may, so I wasn't here when the original vote took place. But the day I took office on January 2nd, I started working to make sure that I was listening to the voices of all the letters and emails and people that came into my office. You might know that I believe it was March or April that we actually pushed out the deadline, right? Because again, as the new kid on the block, it was my job to educate myself about the issue, to listen to all the people who are going to be impacted by the city council vote. And my office has been working tirelessly, especially the Bureau of Emergency Management, to be respectful of the diversity of opinions around what's the right approach to take. We are here today because, quite frankly, I think today we are in a place where we're going to ultimately have a better outcome. And we're going to have a better outcome because we have taken into account all the voices. And so let me just say, attorneys do what attorneys do, which is provide advice. The buck stops with us, the five people that you elected to serve you, right? If you agree with what we're doing today, it would warm my heart for you to say something nice about what we're doing today. I can't control what happened in October, but I can control what happens from today moving forward.
Thank you very much, Commissioner.
Thank you.
That will be, I appreciate the fact that you're appealing these three ordinances, and I think it is the right thing to do.
Hallelujah. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Who's next?
Hi. Hi, my name's Angie Even.
I can move that mic if it's more comfortable.
Okay. My name's Angie Even, and today I came because I've been elected over the last 3 years to be somewhat of a spokesman for the mom-and-pop building owners. And I do want to...
Let me just say, I've learned a few things about social media by watching you very closely. How you use social media. You're very effective.
Thank you. I like facts. I'm here to thank you for your leadership, Commissioner Hardesty, and for the commissioners that came out publicly and came out against the placards. I've been a resident of Portland for almost 60 years. I'll have my 60th birthday next month. And it was so disappointing to go to that trial that we're talking about and hear Commissioner, ex-Commissioner Saltzman under oath say that the reason for the placards was to put economic pressure on the building owners. I think we've had a complete breakdown through this process that I am encouraged that we could turn around. Lawsuits are never going to be the answer, but when the community feels they're not listened to, unfortunately, there's a place where people turn to the law. And so I don't think there's any winners or losers, but I do think the whole city loses when communication breaks down. And the building owners have spent in the last 2 or 3 years just trying to be heard. I do fear that we could return to more legal action, and only because there are many facets of the lawsuit that proved flaws within the system as far as the list and as far as the other buildings that were deleted out of the project. And it's my intent and has always been my intent to force the city to work with us and do this with us and not to us. And so I'm hoping with that that we can have a good relationship going forward. And again, the building owners appreciate that you are repealing the placard ordinance. We didn't think that it was the right thing to do. Thank you.
And last but not least.
My name is Tim Even, and I would like to thank you all, too. I am very glad that you're repealing the placards. And going forward, I would like you all to be more transparent, you and your staffs. Like even this morning when you started into this, you didn't mention that you lost the court case. You didn't. You made it sound like you guys were repealing this out of your own good hearts. But all the different testimony that went forward through all this process, all these last 4 years, was mostly by the public, and it was all saying it was the wrong process, and no one up here listened to any of that. No one.
So let me just say, sir, you will have your time, but I disagree. The reason I didn't mention the lawsuit is because the work I've done since January 2nd had absolutely nothing to do with the lawsuit. And so I just want to be clear about that.
I understand that's your position, and I thank you for coming to the council and making this go forward. I really appreciate that. Right. But I've been involved with it longer than that, and I've seen what I've seen, and there's been a lot of process here.
Well, know that I don't take anything away from your lived experience, but I don't want to be misconstrued as somehow I'm trying to slip this in because of a lawsuit.
No.
Didn't care about the lawsuit, had nothing to do with the lawsuit. You know, the lawsuit is the lawsuit for me. It was, I am now in charge of the bureaus that has a responsibility for implementing this.
Okay.
Can I do it in a way that is just, that is fair, and that actually really listens to the community members who were involved and impacted? Mm-hmm. And so that's why where we're headed is where we're headed. So I want to be clear about that.
And I want to thank you very much for that. And going forward, I want you all to be that way, and I want you to all be transparent, and I want you to all know what you're voting on, because some of you, it was clear, didn't know a lot of the different processes in this, and maybe your staff was running it for you, but I don't know who made the mistake, and I appreciate you saying that, not to gloat. I'm not gloating. I'm just saying going forward with this and the next process, it needs to all be transparent, and part of that transparency is that your list is inaccurate, and that was brought up in the court case. And also, your report that this was all based on was based on vulnerable buildings. And if you look in the table of contents, that report shows that there's other vulnerable buildings. But then if you look at that page, those were removed. And it came out in court that the list is that those other vulnerable buildings were removed because it wouldn't be palatable for the council to vote on. So in transparency, that should not happen in any processes going forward in the future. But I am so proud of you all for repealing this placard case, and I commend you on it.
Thank you.
That concludes public testimony. Is there any discussion? Carla, please call the roll.
You, Daly?
Well, this is an extremely challenging and urgent issue. Few jurisdictions in the country and around the world have figured out what to do with these buildings. And as a council, we have to place public safety and human life before all other considerations. This was one of the most frustrating issues I had to deal with while I had BDS, and I inherited the ITAP permitting system, if that tells you anything. And although I ultimately didn't support this item, I did and do still feel strongly about the right of people who live and work in these buildings to get to make an informed decision as to whether they want to take that risk. We know we are overdue for a major earthquake. We know that URMs present an increased hazard, and we must revisit this issue sooner than later. Everyone has to figure out how we're going to pay for this. The city owns a number of these buildings. Nonprofits own a number of these buildings, and private property owners own them. The solutions are going to look different for everyone, but I'm sure you're all well aware that this conversation isn't over, but I support this action and I vote aye.
Fish?
Well, first, let me thank our newest colleague, Commissioner Hardesty, for taking this on, leading this issue, taking a fresh look, and getting us to this point. Second, I want to thank all the staff who, after all, get their marching orders from the council for their work. Third, I appreciate the admonitions from a number of people today about how we can do our work better. I've been doing this for 11 years, and I get up every morning sincerely thinking about how I can do my job better and to be more effective in what I do. I will tell you that on this issue, I too did not support the underlying ordinance. On this issue, I have spent countless hours meeting with advocates who are extremely effective in making their case. I have done site visits, and I have been pretty transparent about the concerns that I have with the press. If that falls short of some people's standard about transparency, then I have more work to do. But on this issue, I have tried in my own way to be clear about my concerns and my values. And I don't think there's a single meeting that I've declined. And I have spent a lot of time. Pippa, is Pippa here today?
No, she
She wasn't able to be here. But there's a formidable group of advocates who came together, many of whom I've met with, learned a lot from. So I appreciate the process. It is okay to have disagreements, and sometimes it's okay to go to court. It's part of the checks and balances. Footnote, we are, as a city, being asked to cover the attorney fees of Mr. DiLorenzo. Next time, I hope you'll find a pro bono lawyer who doesn't charge $700 an hour so that we can have these fights without these monster legal bills. But this morning, we had a discussion about how to make our Bull Run water system more resilient. And it's interesting, here we are having this conversation where we're all struggling with the same challenge, which is how do we prepare for a seismic event? How do we come up with a cost-effective way of encouraging people to do the right thing? How do we do it building on consensus and thoughtful policy? Well, we had a leading advocate this morning in all things water, the head of one of the most engaged organizations having to do with the Water Bureau, whose official and historic position has been we should not have a single resilient pipe under the Willamette River to provide water to the west side. So, you know, these are big, messy conversations. And One thing I've learned is that it doesn't necessarily matter where you start out, and sometimes disagreements and conflict is inevitable. The question is, when you hit reset and you try something new, you're bringing as many people along as you can. That's what I have sensed that Commissioner Hardesty has done. That's why I think today is a day to maybe put aside some of the past and to pivot to the future. And I have a lot of confidence in her approach. And when I looked at the names of the people who are going to be nominated for the committee, I have even more confidence. So today, I think, is a day to say, okay, that was then. We're entering a new chapter. We all share the same goal of a more resilient city. The question is, how can we get there in a cost-effective way that brings as many people along as possible? So thank you, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Hardesty?
Thank you. I want to thank the people that came out just to see in person if we were really going to do what it was you thought we were going to do. I appreciate the passion that people have brought to this issue. As a newest member of the City Council, I feel I have an obligation to listen to people from all sides of any and all issues. I believe that we're moving in the right direction, and as Commissioner Fish has said, it is important. I have big shoulders. I have thick skin, so I don't mind when people yell at me or tell me I don't know what I'm doing too much. But what I hope is as we leave this chamber today that we all share the same goal, which is I think all of us can agree that we are overdue for a big one. I think we can all agree that any life loss is too much. I think we can all agree that there's no simple solution to how we do what we need to do. I hope we also agree that each of us have a role in actually making the whole better. Once we have done this resolution, we will move on and talk about the new committee that will continue the work. I apologize to those of you who have spent 4 years on this issue. I have only spent 10 months, and it feels like 10 years. But I am so excited and so appreciative, both to the great staff, and I want to acknowledge the director of the Bureau of Emergency Management, Mike Myers, who's in the audience. I want to reinforce once again Jonna and the incredible work that she's done reaching out to every single corner of the constituents that are impacted by this issue. And this is something I rarely do. I actually want to really appreciate my staff person, Derek Bradley, who, like me, neither of us had even heard the word URM before we got in this building. And now it is safe to say that we are experts on URM. If I don't know the answer, Derek does. And if he doesn't, he'll find it. Thank you all. I think we're going to have a much better process once this next phase has been completed. I vote aye.
Fritz.
I agree with each of my colleagues, and I thank you for your eloquent statements. This is an area where people disagree, and I agree with Commissioner Hardesty on the things we do agree on, but there was considerable disagreement when we were discussing this, how many years ago it was. I've been, John and Papa Athlemy has been working on this for at least the almost 11 years that I've been on the council, and it keeps coming back, and it keeps coming back, and it keeps coming back. So it's not true to say that everybody was telling us don't do it, and there was a vote of there was a 3-2 vote. So now we're reversing what we had tried to do. I would have to say I've been to the Keller Auditorium several times since the placards went up, and they still seem to be attracting quite a lot of people to the events there, and indeed I go and I enjoy them. So we do need to do more. We know that we have a disaster coming, and that is the real challenge. Aye.